Sakuna Show.
Okay, I've noticed that for the last few episodes, I've been very angry and coming in hot. And guess what? Today is no different.
And I've been coming in pretty drunk. And you know what? I'm breaking my record. I'm even drunker.
Here's a new theme song.
Oh my God. I love it. That's a good
wish. Oh man, that might be my favorite one.
But look, it says that's by
Wilco.
Wilco?
Or it might be Vilco.
From the Netherlands, which means that's the whitest.
It's pretty white.
Whiting Wong's theme, and it's our favorite. Uh-oh. Problematic. Finally, someone white enough to do a great theme song.
What was great was when I walked in today, Yusan was like, I can't wait for you to hear this one.
I fucking love that
I love whenever Yusan gets excited about the theme song he picked out.
Well, Yusan excited is...
Is always a treat.
Name one thing Yusan could be excited about that would make you bummed out.
Racism.
Racism, yeah. You walk in, he's like, oh, God, have you heard about the new camps? They're locking
Guys,
people
I
up.
Joined a cool new club called the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, you saw... part of me, though, would still be like, wouldn't you be like, oh, you're making racism...
adorable?
Yeah. All right, well, we're not going to keep emasculating the Asian male.
It's not his fault he's adorable.
He's so fucking adorable.
That's a Yusan thing, not an Asian
adorable's
thing.
Adorable's not... That's not right. Like mm-hmm. he doesn't...
I think that Yusan would be adorable if he were any race.
That's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. I definitely do not want to sound like I'm protesting too much. That's totally true. I'm picturing the white version of Yusan all the time.
Because that's what makes you more comfortable
it's
to more, be in the
it's
same room.
Much more
him.
Endearing. Yeah, I try to humanize him. Believe me. And no, but adorable has like a connotation about it that's like, maybe let's say lack of agency or something.
Like it minimizes a person.
Yeah,
it's
like, oh, he's like a Pokemon. It's not. That's like you own
what
him.
What a reference.
Or, I don't know how Pokemon works, but like, if there's some, there's another word. I don't know. He's just
just adorable. That's the only. It's the perfect word.
Adorable. Yeah. I just
endearing.
I just don't want to disempower a human being.
He's powerfully adorable.
My word used to be erstwhile, but then I found out I've been using it wrong my whole life. Erstwhile means former. But it sounds
yes.
like the word
yeah.
that should describe Yusan.
Erstwhile?
Yeah, it sounds like it means earnest and loyal and
wily.
Like dedicated and ambitious and like plucky and stalwart and
yeah.
a squire.
Okay, so
all right.
today...
Blew me off.
There are two... This is me pinching the Harmon loaf. today, we've got something lighthearted to talk about and something very fiery to talk
very
about.
Heavy.
Which one do you want to start with?
Let's start light.
Okay. I got my 23andMe results, and I have not opened them yet because I wanted to share with...
Can I guess? You got to be at least 1% Nazi. There is a fire in your eyes when you dismiss the notion that the Chinese are racist. I think you must be a little bit German.
Oh, man. Okay, so now I'm trying to go through this. Hold on, we're going to have
You really haven't looked at...
I haven't. I didn't look at it. I got my results a week and a half ago, and I haven't opened them just so I could save it for this podcast.
This is incredibly... That's admirable.
Well, first, I just want to point out, before I can get to the ethnic stuff, because I can't figure out how to go through this report, because I'm logged into the website, it does say, alcohol flush reaction, unlikely to flush.
Wait, what is it? Unlikely to flush.
Yes.
That's not a range.
No.
From unlikely to flush.
Unlikely to flush, which I'm pretty
proud
of.
Yeah, you are a boozer.
Yeah, well, because, you know, I think it's something like 90% of East Asians get the Asian, they call it the Asian glow.
Yeah.
And it's because the 90% of East Asians don't have the enzyme that breaks down alcohol. So then it's really just an allergy.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you get drunk faster and you turn red. I have friends who, like, entire body, like stomach is lobster red.
And that's
and
not an
flush.
Exclusively Asian thing. It's just very common.
Very, very common.
Asian in Inuit and Native American people, right? I'm not being too, but I know white and black people who also have that.
Yeah, it's just much more common. Although what sucks is I'm having trouble trying to navigate this website.
But if you do meet an Asian woman that has the no flush,
yeah.
Fucking marry her, right? It's great.
Wait, are you talking to me or are you talking to our audience?
Our audience. You're married. Truck, like jackpot.
Truck did hit the jackpot.
Is he a drinker?
No, he's not.
Oh, okay. So he doesn't even know. It's wasted on him.
It is wasted on him.
I'm curious just in general about how the 23andMe breaks down the entire Eastern Hemisphere, because I'm just a white guy that got my DNA results back.
Yes.
And it was like, you know, it's all very European based.
Yeah, but you spent so long thinking you were Irish.
Oh my God.
Okay, I got it.
Such a heartbreak.
I'm surprised. Only 70% Chinese.
Uh-huh, I knew it. 30% Nazi. Just like America.
All right, let's see. 70% Chinese, 10% Korean.
Oh.
Whoa. Okay, I'm 10.9% Korean, 7.5% Manchurian and Mongolian, 0.5% Japanese, and then 10% broadly East Asian.
Huh.
Whoa. I seriously would have bet money that I was going to be 99% Chinese.
Yeah, well, so the racist in me
says,
wait, so part of that was... Wait, there was, you said 70% Chinese, and then there was another part that was, what, Manchurian?
Yeah. Manchurian and Mongolian.
What?
That's one category.
I understand that there's a difference between Korean and Chinese and Japanese, and
yes.
I don't understand the difference between some of that other stuff.
Well, it's just because, like, the land that is all Chinese territories, there's, like, a lot of different, like, minor ethnic groups. Just because, you know, if you go back to, like, thousands and thousands of years when it was, like, tribal, there's all kinds of different people.
When remember when that guy's email that I read? And he was, like, called you out for being the honky of China?
Yeah.
Is that
valid? It's true that... Well, first of all, I'm going to protest anytime I'm compared to the white people of something.
Because you're racist.
Because I'm 30% Nazi. But yes, the Han Chinese, which is what I am, is like, I think it's like 93% or something crazy like that of like mainland China is that. And then there's like 56 recognized ethnic minority groups that are all like... that are still nationally Chinese and are ethnically Asian, but they're not Han Chinese.
56 recognized?
Yeah, I mean, some of them are tiny. Some of them, there's only like 1,300 of
them. Is there an analogy between that and European? Like, is the analogy like Italian versus French or?
You know, it would be more like Italian and like, I don't know, Sardinian or Sicilian or something like that, you know?
What is going on over there? No one knows.
I like to think that maybe the 7.5% Mongolian means I'm a direct descendant of Genghis Khan.
Oh, for sure. like isn't that a thing? Like,
yeah.
if you're vaguely Asian, like a bunch
there's
of...
There's like a 10% chance that you have you share some sort of bloodline with Genghis Khan because he was such a prolific rapist.
I get all my information from NPR.
I thought you were going to say like P.F. Chang, like fortune cookies or something.
Like Jazz Abinrad, the Radio Lab guy.
Uh-huh.
He has some Genghis Khan in him. Like if you're even remotely Asian and even a bunch of just recognizably white Europeans, it was so long ago and he was so prolific that you got a little bit of
yeah.
For sure,
that's where I got my bloodthirst from.
I have so many Genghis Khan questions, but
I have to say I'm really surprised that I've got 10% Korean.
Yeah. So what is there an impact here? Because when I found out I had not a lick of Irish in me, it changed me completely.
Well, I think it's different because it still tells me I'm still 70% Chinese.
But did you ever think? I mean, you are an avowed racist.
Yes. Like, on the record.
Like, how does it feel to find out that you got a little Japanese and a little Korean in the wood?
Well,
pile?
I mean, the Japanese is so small. It's 0.5%. That's like negligible.
Still, it means great, great, great grandpa was lying.
No, but
something.
Well, here's the thing, too, is like, I mean, China is like the hub of all of that. I mean, like everything from like so much of like Japan and like Korea, like so much of the stuff was like derived from Chinese culture, you know, like there was just such a.
You said it, not me.
You know, in China, there's Chinese Koreans who are ethnically Korean, but they are Chinese. And they live mostly in the northeastern part of China. And they're people who are like 15th generation Korean who have been in China for like that many generations. And if you ask them, like, what are you? What's your ethnicity? They say, I'm Korean, but I'm also Chinese.
Meanwhile, over here.
Yeah.
We're just stirring the pot.
Yeah. I mean, my parents.
Drawing the world's derision.
My parents' best friends who are. If I had godparents, they are my godparents. They are like ethnically Korean Chinese. Like they're from China, they grew up in China, but they are Korean and they identify as Korean, but also as Chinese, and like it's a blend of two cultures.
Yeah, but people are writing in and they go like, look, you railed on this, rightfully mm-hmm. so. I'd love it when you fucking rev up and let it go, because mm-hmm. Dudes write in going. What about China? They're racist.
Yeah. By the way, that guy, that Norwegian guy, wrote back a very, very thoughtful and measured response.
Really?
Which I respected, yeah.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, it was really nice. It was wonderful.
Well, then prompted by your magnanimity, I don't know how many syllables I added to that, with that guy that I blocked, because I know you were CC'd on that guy that used the hand clappy emoji. Like, mm-hmm. He's just symbolic of something I hate, which is people saying, oh, Dan Harmon. Like, or they don't talk about, they talk about me in the third person, and they congratulate you on putting up with me.
And then your feelings are hurt.
Yes.
Because you feel like you're not being treated like a person.
Yes, and welcome mm-hmm. to the club, white boy, I get it. But, like, I don't, yeah, I well, that's it. There is no but. Like, yeah. So great. So, here I'm doing what I would recommend you do. Fucking block the haters. But... Since you were, that's really nice of you to, like, because that guy really fueled your blood.
It's true. But I also have to say, like, I respect him for, after listening to me, like, get mad at him for 10 minutes, to still, like, think about it, look inward, and then still write a response that was really, really thoughtful.
He respected your humanity, I assume.
Yeah, so it was nice.
Yeah,
it was great.
In case that
best
guy is
case
listening.
Scenario. It was the best case scenario.
In case you're listening to that guy that I blocked, and I think I said, like, I said, like, you're unlikable or something. Like, if that guy's listening, on the off chance he's listening, I can't unblock you because I don't remember your username, but Jessica is inviting me up to her plane. Like, look, here's the real truth. Like, you say shit like that, like, I have shame. That's why I do this podcast, because I have shame. So you play on my shame, it's like, it's not ironic. There's nothing, like, it's like, oh, listen to that white guy, he's so stupid, he doesn't understand what he's talking about. It's like, it makes me ashamed of myself. So what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm the guy that's so ashamed of himself, he started this podcast with his friend. Like, do you want me to, like, be so fucking evolved that I'm just, like, on top of that? Also, like, yeah, I'm such an idiot and so fucking racist and ignorant. Like, I'm already trying to do that. And then to have that, like, it's just, like, it's that talking about you in the third person thing on Twitter. It's fucking, it gets me every time. When people are, like, they're tagging me almost exclusively and just being, like, I don't know what I think about Dan Harmon, like, at Dan Harmon, like, it was like, oh, some of the season two of Community is good, but I don't know what's that. And I'm like, dude, you have 50 followers. You're talking to me alone. Go fuck yourself. Anyways, sorry. But I want that guy to know he's not a bad person. I am filled with fucking shame.
Yeah.
Toxic shame. I do not do this podcast in order to create a smokescreen to make it seem like I am a better person. I do this podcast because it makes me feel like my shame can be of some use to people. And so, look, it's not my favorite thing in the world to read tweets and emails about how ignorant I am, because it's like kind of the point of the podcast. So it's like, if that's also what you're taking away from it, it's like, can't you just say, like, can't you just address me like a human being and go like, Dan, thank you for for like presenting your ignorance. Like, you don't even have to be that flattering.
You are a powerful, famous white man. I'm waiting for you to say thank you. Yep, there we go. And I think that
by design.
Yes, and I think that when you're at that level, people forget that you still have feelings.
That's been an eternal thing, but it's actually very, it is very potent and important in this context, because I would like to think if we're being successful with this podcast, it means that there are people from outside my whole history of being a fucking douchebag that are actually just like counting on me to be kind of like gut strong. And they're just treating me like the rodeo clown I am. And little do they know, I'm a fucking hypersensitive, super fragile white boy. So I'll take it as the compliment.
Well, take it as a compliment in the sense that when people are writing the tweets like that about you, it's part of it is that they've come to expect so much from you because you are very intelligent and you are thoughtful and you do want to have these conversations and do a podcast like this, that they are now holding you to a higher standard than other people because they feel like you should know all these things.
Having held me to that higher standard, what the fuck did I do in that episode that was so fucking like,
what I'm saying is it's because like, people feel like they're part of this conversation with you already.
Okay, well, this is therapeutic and also insane. I just realized the irony of this. Like, we're soothing the white guy's ego. I get the irony. I see all the irony. I get it. I see it. Edit it out. I'm just being honest about my feelings instead of like, I'm not going to put on like a fucking strong face and be like, yeah, I'm so fucking like, yeah, it fucking hurts. Like, it makes me empathize. Like, I get it. Maybe I need to get whipped with a fucking belt by some fucking rando hack that uses the clapping emoji formula. Like a fucking,
we'll make it a fun contest where
this, I fucking hate you, period. I don't care if you're a senator or the Pope. This is fucking obnoxious and hack.
What if Norman Lear did that to you?
Fucking dunzo.
Dunzo.
And guess what? Read his biography. Not.
Oh, boy.
Flawed man. All right. Let's move on. Here we go.
Let's move on. All right. The heavier thing I want to talk about is Apu and the Simpsons. So, today's Monday. Sorry to break the magic, but we record on Mondays. Last night's episode, the newest episode of The Simpsons, for people who don't know, there was a documentary called The Problem with Apu by the comedian Hari Kondabolu, that really runs through like the character of Apu, how it is a racist stereotype, and how for at the time of the documentary it had been going for 28 years, and he interviews like a ton of Indian American comedians and actors, writers, even a former Surgeon General, and has them talk about the impact of Apu that Apu has had on their lives and what they see as the problem and also what they see as the solution. And he tries unsuccessfully to get Hank Azaria, who is a white guy, and the voice of Apu, to be part of the documentary. And it spurred a lot of conversation about this. And I think the doc came out last year. And last night, the newest episode of The Simpsons really, really fucking shit the bed on the whole situation. They essentially double down on being tone deaf, out of touch, clueless old white guys. So there is a great, fantastic article, NPR article written by Linda Holmes about it. I really, really recommend everybody go and read this. It's called The Simpsons to The Problem with Apu, Drop Dead. And, I mean, she really covers, like, every fucking point that I would want to make. And I'm going to just read what her summation of the key scene in the episode is. Basically, in the episode, like, Marge buys a book that she loved as a little girl for Lisa. But then once she starts reading it, she realizes, as now as an adult in modern day, she realizes that the book is full of, like, racist tropes and stereotypes and offensive material. And she has a hard time reconciling that with it. So she decides to revise the book and take out everything that is problematic and offensive and give Lisa the abridged version. So I'm going to read from the article now. Quote, it takes a lot of work to take the spirit and character out of a book, but now it's as inoffensive as a Sunday in Cincinnati, Marge announces. Marge has changed everything in the book so that nothing in it can bother anyone, which involves making the central character so perfect that, as Lisa instantly announces, there's no point to the book. Marge asks what she's supposed to do. And then it gets worse. After Marge asks what she's supposed to do, Lisa looks directly at the camera. It's hard to say, she says. Something that started decades ago and was applauded and inoffensive is now politically incorrect. What can you do? And she looks at a framed photo next to her bed of Apu, which is signed, "Don't have a cow, Apu." Marge puts a hand on her shoulder and says, "Some things will be dealt with at a later date." If at all, Lisa responds, both look blankly at the audience.
I thought your no, pause
that's,
was...
that's, no, my pause was to decide how I want to say fuck you to The Simpsons.
I want to interject with, because I'm reading along with you, like, I haven't seen the episode, but I love this writer's, this is not an inflammatory, like, outrage baity piece. Like,
no, it's not.
Like I'm reading it. This is, but, and yet at the same time, it's also not, like, objective fetish, like Ayn Rand, like, let's talk about whether or not blah, blah, blah. Like, this is a person who has
Ayn Rand, the person who said, don't care about anybody else except yourself.
Yeah, this is a person who has an intimate relationship with The Simpsons, which a lot of America does, as exemplified in. You said it's a she?
Yeah.
The Paris, it's like Lisa, which intimates that, like, this person understands what the Simpsons, like, its entire history,
yeah.
And, which includes that Lisa is, like, the kind of...
Is the liberal one.
Is the super ego of the family.
Yeah. Of all people, is the politically correct, like, super liberal, super
sometimes
progressive.
She's right and sometimes she's wrong.
It's very much clearly a decision to make Lisa be the one who says that,
and to have her break the fourth wall,
yeah.
And there's a betrayal intimated there by the author. Sorry, Lisa of all people,
yeah.
Like you made Rod Serling look at the camera and say, yeah. The point of this Twilight Zone is go fuck yourself,
yeah.
You know, like of all people, and that really, like, draws me into the author, because it's like, this isn't just a 25-year-old.
No, this is coming from,
like,
a place of betrayed love.
Let's cut down a tree, and the betrayal is genuine. Yeah, I mean, that really leaps out at me.
Yeah, and here's I watched the documentary, The Problem with Apu, and in it, like, at one point, Hari Kondabolu interviews Dana Gould, who wrote on The Simpsons for several years, and it's, like, a very respected writer, but his answers were so tone deaf and so, like. Like, this was a guy who was so not aware, because he talks about how, you know, he does that very typical white man writer thing where he says, well, you know, it's the funniest thing. Like, the funniest joke always wins, blah, blah. But he never stops to think, like, what's behind that statement is this is somebody who didn't stop to think, who is it funniest to? Because guess what? Apu is not the funniest thing to Indian Americans. It's not the funniest thing to most people of color. Like, when you say it's the funniest thing, you mean it's the funniest thing to white guys. And that means that's who the only person you're writing for, and that's the person you care, the only person you care about. Like, you know what? It's like Simpsons, like, have the fucking balls to say we only care about white people. Because that's really what that's saying. That's what this episode says. That's what that scene says. It's really saying, we think this is funny. We're white dudes. This is funny to white people, and that's who we care. That's the audience we care about.
Yeah, I mean, 90% of what you're saying is I'm just like nodding and nodding and nodding, and I'm just I my white guy whole pokey thing, but for the purpose of actually
sure
bolstering your argument, not poking a hole in it. But the one thing is, like, when we reduce things to whether or not it's offensive to blah blah blah, like, are we pretty sure we could probably go and find an East Indian person, South Indian, what's the phrase for what Apu offends?
Yeah, he's an East Indian.
So
you're thinking South Asian.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Could we probably go and find someone
who's willing to do the accent? Yeah.
No. Oh. Who's willing to say, I love that fucking character. He's mm-hmm. amazing. Blah blah blah.
Sure.
When we get dragged down into that level of argument, mm-hmm. it's like no one's ever going to win. It becomes anecdotal. Yeah. It's not. And I'm not saying comedy's about science. I just mean that. Who cares if the comedy rule should be, is it boring now? Is it easy now? Should we strive forward? Donald Glover, yeah. Like, I, you know, the reason Chevy won't talk to me ever again in his fucking life, because I, even though
what a big loss.
I know, but but the writer of that article on Donald, like, asked me about this thing, and it was like, the story I was trying to convey about Donald was that he was such an inspiration to me, because as his white showrunner talking to this young black man, and then I observed that Chevy was like, it's a rough time to sit next to him. Now I will interject there and go, is that because Chevy's in a comedy legend? It doesn't matter. I was just like, I let Donald sit next to him, and for 12 hours, like, I heard the stories about the shit that he said and all that stuff. So what do? I take the easy way out. I text Donald and I go, by the way, man, I heard Chevy said this or that. I'm really embarrassed and I'm really sorry. So what am I doing for Donald? Am I doing anything? I'm not calling HR. Well, yeah. I mean, I was like, it's a rhetorical question. Like, I'm not calling HR. I'm not doing anything. I'm just like waving a flag to Donald, going, good, nice white guy over here. Heard about the bad white guy on the set.
Yeah.
But Donald's response was so inspirational to me, because he was a child compared to me. He was an actor. He was a diversity hire on 30 Rock. And now as an actor on my sitcom, is like clearly a superstar, but so young, so inexperienced. It was just like so smart, so cool. Like, oh, I want to protect you and make you happy. And I'm so sorry you were subjected to inhuman conditions in the workplace today. And he texted me back and was like, yeah, no, I don't. It's just not funny. Not in an outrage way. It was like, it's just not.
It's just hacky.
It's just hack. It's his. Yeah. It's on him. Mm-hmm. If he says something something watermelon, or he's something something Sambo, like, and there's it's just not funny. Like, Donald was the voice of the future. Like, he was the next generation going. Like, and I was like, I had that theory in the back of my head, which is like, we don't actually need to take a shovel and fucking dig this shit out. A lot of this shit we can let die. Because yes. It becomes not funny anymore.
Yeah, it's letting, that's you've zeroed in on something, which is just some things just let it fucking die.
And
you
this
know?
Is, and as the white guy reading this article about the Simpsons episode that I did not see, as a friend of Dana Gould's, as a friend, as a guy who was recently Simpsonized, and like, I have nothing but bridges to burn here, and like, I don't want people who work for this incredibly respected blah blah blah. Like, I don't, you know. But comedically, all I would, you know, what mm-hmm. I can observe is, if it's true that someone problematizing Apu is in itself comedically meta problematic, if it's true that problematization is anathema to comedy because it's so unfun, prove it.
Well, yes.
Prove it by being really fucking funny.
Yeah, well, because here's the thing. It's like, first of all, Apu, like, they act like taking Apu out of The Simpsons is going to, like, destroy the fabric
or
and by, core of
or,
what The Simpsons is.
Or by humanizing him. He
yeah,
can
but,
still
but
talk,
but also, it's like, look, like, it's not called, the Apu Show. It's The Simpsons. Like, he's like a side character.
But wait, are we really talking about taking Apu out of The Simpsons? Because then then it becomes like the gun control debate. It's like are we? It becomes easy to argue against removing Apu.
Well, first of all, I mean, I'm a little biased because I think The Simpsons just needs to has really, really run its course.
That's an easy thing to say about Saturday Night Live or Simpsons or anything.
I don't
Why do we care?
I don't think the same thing of Saturday Night Live. I definitely think the same.
Well,
thing.
Well, fuck you. Saturday Night Live needs to die by fire. Like, what? There's no such thing as institutional
comedy. Here's the thing. What's most heartbreaking about all of this is the clear, fundamental lack of empathy on the part of the Simpsons writers. It's insane the lack of empathy they have for people who don't look like them. Like, when people are telling you, hey, dude, this thing you make and continue to make hurt me in my childhood and really, really left a mark on me as a human being.
Prominent
in a negative
comics,
way.
Like this article is the first thing that made me want to watch this documentary. I'm going to be really, really, really honest for the sake of the conversation. Like, I walk down Sunset Boulevard, I see a billboard for the documentary, and my white brain goes, like, look, I know Apu's a racist caricature. I'm not interested in watching someone spike that football. However, then I read that Malik Penchali and, like, I don't know, like Cal Penn, like that this is a thoughtful documentary.
These are all people who talk about how it has directly affected them. Like,
these are
how
guys
many,
who are certainly like not gonna make any bones about the fact that they love The Simpsons, probably.
Yes, and also guess what? They love comedy too. Yeah. They love comedy.
And that they grew up on a playground.
Why does it have to be have to be at the expense of them and their parents and their heritage and their culture and the way they look? Like, that's the problem, is that what The Simpsons are saying is what we dinosaurs think are funny is infinitely more important than if it hurts you as a human being. Because right. Your pain means less than me having a laugh.
Which a person with empathy should acknowledge.
How can you be a person with empathy and have someone tell you, like, look, this might not have been in your intention, but by creating and perpetuating this character, you made my childhood horrible and fraught. People made fun of me because of this character you continue to stand behind.
Well, let's unbraid a couple of these braids. because it could be that there's an analogy here that's very handy in my mind between this and the gun control debate. But honestly, it's because, like, the people who want the argument to persist and therefore no resolution to happen are the same people who characterize the opposition as wanting a ban on all guns ever forever. That way they can keep the debate going. 'Cause that's why I say, like, if the documentary by this young man insinuates that it would be a great thing to reach down into animation history and expunge Apu, I would question this young man.
But it's not about expunging.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So it's the like, when my friends respond in these interviews, like, I think that's it's like we have to escape this idea of this is allowed or this isn't allowed, which makes everyone just leap to their barracks and talk about slippery slopes. I think that's what comedy writers are doing in this era of increased calls for awareness. It makes a little bit of comedy writer sense that if you hear the shelling happening outside your bunker and none of it is funny, that you're going to huddle up in your bunker and go, there's a war on comedy going on out there. Now, if you fucking tweet about me and say that this is me whataboutingor wear this hat, I am trying to achieve fucking empathy for the dark side that I represent, and fuck you, you're welcome, and stick it up your ass. I fucking hate you. I do you know how easy it would be for me to sit here and play fucking woke and be like, yeah, I hate it. It'd be a morning show. I sip from my coffee cup. I'm fucking here to say, like, it is possible to be a person capable of goodness and find yourself on the wrong side of history.
Yes, but the key to really determine what you're made of is when someone tells you.
When it happens.
Yeah, when someone tells you, this hurts me and this is harmful, the real measure of a human being is what their response is to that. And in the case of The Simpsons, they doubled down on being assholes and said, fuck you. We're the only ones who matter. Our people who look like us are the only people who matter. And that's really what's really, really hurtful and upsetting about all of this.
It's pretty shocking coming from, yeah.
It's Simpsons. Not shocking. That's the other sad part is that it's not shocking at all.
Well, it shocks me that's worth. Like, if you made me guess, if I was on a game show called You Haven't Watched The Simpsons in 20 Seasons, Guess What They Did in Response to Blank, like, I would have guessed a million permutations that had everything to do with nuance, and I would have guessed that I would have guessed that the beginning of that story, the description of it, sounds like right on the money. Great idea, like, oh, the let's address the burgeoning issues of the time. Her textbook, it's like, or her storybook, like, they rip it out. But then from there, yeah, I would not expect.
And here's the thing, like, you know, like, they cite all the time, like, oh, well, it used to be okay and it was great. But it's like,
that's a weird thing to say as a comedy writer.
Yeah, but also that time period, like, the reason it was okay was because people of color didn't have a voice. They didn't have the voice that they had now. They didn't have the access to actually speak publicly about it. So you were only listening to other white people talk about it. So of course it seemed like it was okay. The only difference between then and now is that people of color are able to have more outlets and have more opportunity to speak out and say things and actually direct things publicly at this. And there are more people of color working in entertainment to be able to say, like, fuck this shit. This is total complete bullshit. That's the only difference. It's not like people of color weren't offended back then. It's just that they didn't have any way to voice it publicly.
All right. Nodding my head. I do want to ask you, in light of that, none of which I disagree with, like, what do we think as comedy writers, and therefore fans of comedy, how do we cope with this idea that comedy has never aged well? This has nothing to do with The Simpsons,
sure.
So don't get distracted by that. Yeah. This, in fact, is why The Simpsons story is so disappointing, because The Simpsons is still on the air and could easily just, you know, It could evolve as it always has, really.
Yeah.
But it's kind of separate but related to that. Let's talk about the fact that 15 or dare I say 3 years ago, some things were fair game, and then the world shifts beneath our feet, and then they're not. Like, what is our feeling about? In this world where, like, it's like, I'll give you an example. Like, my friend Graham Linehan is an Irish sitcom writer, created IT Crowd. Like, he's very, you know, like, out-tweeted, outspoken on Twitter in terms of his retweets. And, like, he makes no bones about he hates the Gamergaters, he hates the alt-right and all this stuff. And, like, it is a frequent thing that people will, like, his haters will, they'll retweet to him, like, an image from one of his sitcoms that he created 20 years ago where there's, like, a Hitler joke in it. Mm-hmm. And there's a character dressed as Hitler. And it's, like, this idea of, like, proving him wrong.
Sure.
I find myself right now as a 45-year-old white male comedy writer going, like, what are the rules about, what are the statute of limitations in comedy? Like, if your stand-up act 10 years ago, remember when Trevor Noah. I address, I'm a very statistician. to last name first. He, you know, remember when he got knighted and chosen, and people went back through his Twitter history?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's doing like Jew jokes and stuff. It's like what is there a statute of limitations? I think I know the answer already. If Andrew T were here, it'd be like, well, yeah, that's the reason why we can't keep saying, are you or are you not racist and blah, blah, blah.
I think with stuff like that, you know, it's again, the same thing of you see the measure of a person when they get called out on it. Because if
what's so hard about saying, yeah, times are, well, I guess, you know, like, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it's like,
it's not that times were different. It's more that, you know what? Yeah, I was a fucking shithead. I was a racist shithead. I mean, it's a lot of what, I see a lot of that in you where you're like, yeah, I used to be wrong about a lot of fucking stuff. And now I'm learning and I'm trying to adapt and grow. And I think that it's an admirable thing to want to become self-aware and to want to grow and to want to change. And I think that we should give people the room to redeem themselves and to evolve.
So that's a two-way street. That's important to say. And then I'll get a tweet about how this is me.
All right, stop
saying,
anticipating
pave
tweets.
The way for racists,
stop
everybody.
Stop anticipating tweets.
But this is a two-way street where it's like, hey, man, if this is a function of ignorance... And we're not talking about The Simpsons anymore, obviously. Because this is but
we're definitely going to get back to The Simpsons.
The two-way street is, if you truly believe that racism in all of its continuum, its spectrum, is a function of ignorance, do you want to just get high on this ceremony of rounding up everybody that is currently ignorant and burning them alive while they scream, wait, what? I'm not that ignorant. What do you mean by all this stuff? And I'm not saying it is your job to teach them. This goes back to like our first episodes, like where it's like, you know, when we talked about like the alt-right guys, like, you know, being misogynist about the season 3 writer staff. And I was like, you know, it'd be great if like every time one of those guys did that, the women writers were hilarious going back. And it was like, that's not our fucking responsibility. It's not people of color's responsibility to prove to white people that they're super people. But are we as human beings, like, are we just going to fucking, like, when is this carnival going to end of like, I found out you're racist. Now I'm holding your head underwater while you kick and scream and you're drowning. When is it going to give way to this thing of like, shit, man, we got to work together. Like, you must be racist for some fucked up reason.
It depends on if you're still racist and whether or not you recognize that and whether or not you want to stop being racist. That's really the key.
It's the response. Going back to The Simpsons.
Yeah, that's the linchpin.
What's weird is that The Simpsons responded to this guy's documentary. And
with
a very measured wah, fuck you. It's not even an impulsive one.
It was a thought out wah, fuck you. Like that's the part that really, really gets to me is knowing, like, as a writer, knowing how many fucking levels that went through and the fact that the fucking network didn't say anything or was overruled, like that dozens upon dozens of people went through several like weeks of this for that to go through and air on television.
Now, do you want me to play the devil's advocate? Of course you do. So here it goes. Like, I haven't seen the episode.
Uh-huh.
And I would be fucking blood red, fucking murderously outraged right now if this was about Rick and Morty and I was reading an article about how Rick and Morty responded to this with this and it was all out of context, quote chases and stuff. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to talk about this episode as if I'm like in a position of judging, like I need to watch the episode or shut the fuck up, or while we're here and I haven't seen the episode, let's speak theoretically, in which case I have to play the devil's advocate and say, are we sure that what's being described in this article is it? I mean, it's is it a throwaway?
Do you
gag?
Want to? Why don't we take a break and you can watch it? It's like a 1 minute clip.
Well, if it's a 1 minute clip, it still could be out of context.
Oh, man.
Well, wait.
I watched the episode.
Well, I'll at least watch.
I watched the episode.
Let's take a break and get shit faced, drunk,
okay.
And I'll watch the 1 minute clip.
All right. We're taking a break.
Okay. Well, I like how this dovetails with, like, my, like, I wish people wouldn't pick on me and call me the guy that apologizes for racism thing. I need to get over that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to not be afraid of that. I'm the guy that apologizes for racism. In that role, we just watched, as we got drunker, we watched the clip.
To be fair, that was only half of that scene.
Right.
Like, we couldn't find the clip. Like,
right. And
because Yusan refuses to illegally download things.
But just in that moment, as the resident white comedy writer guy, Lisa and Marge looking at the camera and going, it's in particular the punchline of the whole bit being like, maybe we'll address it later, if ever, like that is a satirical comedy.
How is that not a fuck you to everyone who's saying, look, what you do and what you've done and continue to do with this character hurts me personally and hurts my family? How is that not a fuck you to all those people?
Well, I'll just run a simulation of the Simpsons writer sitting here.
Yeah.
I was like, we wrote that scene because we pitched an episode or not, I don't know, like, put a pin in that, but like we couldn't find a funny angle on, like, saying we didn't want to kill Apu by having a safe land on him with labeled progress.
Mm-hmm.
That would have registered as sarcasm. Him showing up again ever is now on their radar, just as McDonald's after Super Size Me. And this is Lisa and Marge looking at the camera and going, like, it goes like, oh, it'll be addressed later, if ever. And it's like, when has The Simpsons ever in their self-effacement ever, like, they operate from within the frame of their own painting. They're saying, we are a corporate fucking product, and sorry, we're not going to be good at apologizing.
You think the Fox Broadcasting Network is saying to them, you better have Apu in these episodes or else? I don't think so.
No, that's not where I'm going. I'm saying, like, when you're a comedy writing staff and you want your version of saying I'm sorry is to say I'm a piece of shit.
They're not saying that. They're saying we're not going to address it. Don't have a cow. It literally says don't have a cow signed a poo on that fucking framed picture.
It's a reference to the problematic. They're shining a flashlight on the problematic.
Yeah, and they're saying we don't care.
No,
that's the problem.
That's where I disagree with you. Remember that flowchart thing that we do where we analyze, like, where we disconnect? You know, like, I saw that with my white eyeballs.
You also saw a 12 second clip and not the entire episode.
Absolutely, yeah. Of course. But I think it's because we can't mm-hmm. like pause the podcast.
But again, you're also coming at it as an older white writer.
Yes. And yeah. I'm saying my point of view is, like, there is another way to, I mean, like, come on. Like, there, this documentary comes out and says, we're ringing the buzzer. Malik Panchali, Cal Penn, like respected, like, comedians who are the same age as the people writing the show, like, were ringing the bell and going, problematic, very funny character, it's hilarious, he talks like this, but then sometimes he talks about Star Wars,
but
okay,
not funny.
And they're going, like, when I was 10 years old, people shoved my head in a toilet and said, you're like a poo. And it's like, the show's been on the air for 50 years, and those kids are going, those grown men are going, like, yeah, it's fucked up, this legacy of shit, this celluloid closet of, like, fucking Islamophobia and brown racism, and like...
Well, he's Hindu.
And so the documentary comes out, and they're making the... And then they, like, fucking, like... That Simpsons episode about how your favorite shit is problematic could be...
But you're saying this as if Apu without... You're saying this as if The Simpsons without Apu wouldn't be The Simpsons anymore.
No, that's... What? How did you ever get that?
But, because...
That's crazy. No, that's absolutely... I can't believe you heard that. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what they're saying.
What are you saying?
If I were playing the devil's advocate,
uh-huh.
and this is my
job. You're good at it.
And when you fucking decry me for it on Twitter, I will fucking block you because I'm white and I'm powerful and I'm not used to criticism. I'm just trying to create a bridge here and saying, like, wait a minute. What do we do as comedy writers when we get called out on shit? Like, mm-hmm. how do we apologize? We don't bend a knee. It's not funny. We make fun of ourselves, usually by reference. We cite it. I would make an argument, well, entertain this possibility, that Apu is, like, not going to appear for a while. And they're referencing that and like looking over at his photo as if he's a dead relative of the show. It has nothing to do with like, oh God, like please everybody start a Kickstarter to save the Apu character from the SJWs, and everything to do with like, you know what, we had a good run and it's fucking like, it's a problematic character and it sucks. Like like Lisa looks at the camera and says, long-running shows like that get applauded for their fucking progress and innovation, like eventually become the racist shit. She's not saying fuck you if you have a necessarily. She's not going like fuck you if you have a problem with this shit. She's actually like the voice of the audience, which is what we expect from Lisa, saying like, yeah, it's actually true. Like if your show runs long enough,
how are you extracting that from her saying if at all? Like if we're gonna even address it at all?
Because that part that gets very like I look at that as like, or I'm not, I don't look at that as, I'm just saying like, have we not accepted the possibility that there, that's not them saying we're like, yeah, I guess in your absurd pitch earlier, maybe I am saying that like FBC was like, yeah, don't do your fucking bend a knee sorry about Apu episode or storyline, because
they could have chosen to not address it, but the fact that they chose to address it and this was the stance they had, these are very, very specific choices. Like, it's not a fucking accident that they decided to do this scene. Like, they chose to address it. They could have stayed silent, but they decided very specifically to talk about this and address this and reference Apu. And this is the stance that they took on it.
I think the person that wrote this article is brilliant and sensitive and loves The Simpsons. I can't wait to watch the Problem with Apu documentary, which I didn't want to watch because I was scared it was just going to be...
It's great. I mean, the interviews in it are
non-empathic, like outrage. But yeah. I love that Cal Penn and Malik are in it going like talking just about their personal stories. Like that makes me want to watch the documentary. I like those guys, like probably like respect the Simpsons. I think it's quite possible that there are many, many layers to the Simpsons referencing that fucking issue.
How white do you think the Simpsons writer's room is?
I'm sure it's as white as the driven snow.
Yeah.
What does that imply? That if there's a black man in the Simpsons writers room, that his job is to
this is where we get into who do they care about and who is this for? You know, when Dana Gould in that documentary says like, well, you have to admit that that objectively some accents are just funnier than other ones. It's like,
well, I didn't
to
see
who?
That. I didn't see
but,
that.
But it's like, to who? To you? To white dudes? Sure. But guess what? To someone where you're making fun of their immigrant parents, that's not the funniest fucking accent, dude. And it's to me, it's really, really just infuriating that people...
argument with any of that.
That are so tunnel vision about and so self-centered, like... they're the only perspective that exists. Thought about other
you're
people.
You're drawing back. Like all I'm suggesting to you is that what we watched in that 20-second clip, because mm-hmm. I didn't see the entire episode, I'm like, all I'm saying to you is that when I watch that 20-second clip, I perceive what could possibly be a comedy writer's room's version of an apology.
There's nothing in that that says apology.
If you mean it's not an acknowledgement of the offense, an expression of remorse, and a commitment
there's
to change,
no expression,
that's not comedy.
There's no expression of remorse.
I that's what I'm saying. That's not. It's like
so
that's
how
not,
is it an apology?
The closest thing that a writer's room could possibly do under those circumstances could be possibly if you were to say, oh, they couldn't come up with, like, they're so racist. Let's pretend they're all so racist over at The Simpsons. They're so white and they're so racist. They all they love is just hating people of color, and they love that Apu character. But they watch the documentary and they go, well, the jig is up. Let's just pretend that. Because the theory of the article and you is that they saw the article and were like, or and saw the documentary and were like, time to double down. Now, my alternative theory is, I'm saying, what if they saw the documentary and were like, the jig is up. We have been problematic. If anybody working on The Simpsons since the day Apu was created is so old, they don't get to pitch jokes or stories. No offense, but like it's Apu is an inherited character.
Doesn't mean you have to use
him.
He's not in the main cast. You don't have to use him. Use him again.
What if being hip comedy writing people in Hollywood, they see the documentary and they go, jig is up. Thought we got that tennis ball over the net. Thought Apu was sort of like a weird, like Civil War statue of like legacy. Like, oh, it looks like people are going to respect it. Uh-oh, looks like the college kids are protesting it. Uh-oh, there's a college protest around the Apu statue. What do you do? Like, I'm not saying it's the coolest and smartest thing they ever could have done, but all I'm saying to you is that the article and you are perceiving them as going, fuck you, Apu forever.
Okay, my question to you
is, like, no, they might be pulling the plug on Apu.
What part of that clip, what part of it says to you that they're sorry?
Apu is not in the scene, that there's a black and white picture of him on a bedstand, and that he's saying,
it says don't have a cow.
Yeah, which is a reference to the fact that comedy doesn't age well.
Him saying to the audience, to the people who are criticizing them,
no,
don't have a fucking cow. That's what
on.
It is.
I don't mean to say all.
Who do you think that's directed towards?
No, I look, here's how I perceive that. Like I perceived that
it's like
as a reference to
the clunkiest, hackiest dog whistle.
Perceive it that way. I perceived it as a reference to aging comedy. Bart Simpson was famous for saying "Don't have a cow."
It could have said, "Well, if that's true, then it could have been anything else that didn't." It could have been any other catchphrase like "Cowabunga" that didn't mean
true.
Hey, yes. Don't. Fucking be so overly sensitive.
I tell you, man.
These are specific choices.
The shock that registers in me when it's I read this article, I go like, oh, The Simpsons with its legacy of being self-aware and handling things and hiring.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
And that they choose now to be so tone deaf that they're going to just depart from the rules of comedy entirely just to say to America, fuck you if you have a problem with our racist character. The way to do that would be to have an episode where he's like, I cloned myself. I'm everywhere.
I think that they think they're doing like a cool South Park commentary on like PC stuff, and it's not funny or smart enough to do what South Park does. Well, I think that they tried it, they shot their shot, and they fucking fell short. And they're super, super. I mean, it's just watching a bunch of fucking dinosaurs grope around for a light switch.
I agree. I don't want to be conflated with saying like I think they did a genius thing and it's an awesome mega joke and they're Andy Kaufman and you don't get it. My counterpoint is because the article and you are interpreting it as a middle finger to plaintiffs, and I'm saying like it doesn't have to be all the way in the other direction, nor does it have to be that. It could be It could be lazy, white, old people like me going, you got me. I give up. Like I get it. And then doing the best version possible. What do you mean? Is it saying like, oh, it'll be addressed if ever? Like, I don't know.
But that's saying we're not going to address it because we don't give a fuck.
My theory is that we're never going to see fucking Apu again. Does that change anything for you? Like if that's the way that he went out?
Regardless of whether or not we ever see Apu again, I think this episode was a fucking travesty, and I think it was disgusting, and I fucking hate them for doing this.
I mean, that is incredibly strong language.
Yes, because that was shots fucking fired.
The description of it makes it sound easy. I remember people on CNN reading Eminem's lyrics out loud off of an affidavit.
But I watched the fucking episode.
I just watched it
I watched the whole fucking episode and
okay.
I loved The Simpsons when I was a kid. I've watched so many fucking episodes of The Simpsons. I loved it. It was my favorite fucking show when I was a kid, okay? I understand what The Simpsons is about, and I watch this, and this is how I interpret it, this is how I take it. I firmly believe this is how they meant it, and it fucking horrifies me, and I fucking hate them for it.
And you're starting to hate me because you perceive me as like...
No, like, I'm used to you being an apologist.
Okay, but you understand that it's devil's advocate, like, truly. Like, I do not have an agenda. Like, remember before we took a break and watched the clip? And yeah. I was like, fucking.
Well, it depends on do you genuinely.
Like, yeah, it's pretty disappointing.
Are you playing devil's advocate, or do you genuinely believe that they had the best intentions?
No. Thank you for asking that. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm genuinely expressing. I'm very honest about it. I'm 100% transparent. This is what I'm expressing. As Jacques Cousteau, I am saying I just dipped my head under the ocean for 20 seconds watching that clip. And I have reason to believe it's possible this species of starfish should not be called racist. I need to watch the whole episode. I did not see anything in that clip that if you told me if the headline of this article was the problem with Apu documentary gets a response from The Simpsons and it's admirable and it's right. Simpsons retires Apu. It's like the same events that I saw in that 20 seconds, I wouldn't go, well, that doesn't seem like they cared at all that they ever hurt anybody. The things that I saw in that 20 seconds, that's all I saw is 20 seconds. When I watched it, I was like, goddamn, tone changes everything. The written description of what they're doing makes it sound like a fucking huge middle finger. But when I watched the 20 seconds, I was like, you know what? If The Simpsons was going to respond to that documentary by retiring Apu and self-effacing, the way they do it is they would break the fourth wall, stare at the camera, and say, yeah, comedy's weird. Sometimes shit 30 years ago that was hilarious and funny stops being funny. Maybe we'll address it later, or maybe not at all.
But that's the fuck you, is saying we're not going to address it at all is a fuck you. And also, here's the other thing, too, is that, like, I need you to believe me as a person of color when I tell you, like, this is fucked up. I perceive it as fucked up, and I 100% in my heart of hearts, in my
that's very
in
fair.
My tiny coal black Chinese heart that this
thank
is
you for
a,
owning up to the size and blackness of my heart.
This is a fuck you to people of color who are complaining.
You know
and
what?
I need you to believe me when I say that.
I do believe you. I believe that's how you feel. You know what? That's like an incredibly important thing that I'm learning in therapy about, like, mirroring and stuff. Like, I'm very sorry. Like, I don't mean to dismiss your perception. You're a smart person that I admire and I started a podcast with. If you tell me you watched the whole episode and I didn't, so you're like, why am I telling you, oh, you must be fucking insane? Like, I'm very sorry about that. I really am. I feel bad about that. I want to watch it, and I'm probably not going to because I haven't watched a fucking lick of Atlanta, and I'm tired of hearing how good it is.
But also, when you watch it, you're gonna it's gonna resonate differently with you than it is with me because we're coming at it from different perspectives, you know, and I carry a lot of experiential baggage that you don't.
Yeah, and I carry a lot of fucking privilege that you don't. And as like I'm like talking down to you and being like, you don't get it. I'm like, you know, it's fucking classic. That's really embarrassing to me to realize that. Like I'm like, well, wait a minute. I watched 20 seconds of this and everybody cool it. I'm sorry. It's fucking stupid.
This is what this podcast is all about. It's us taking an hour to unite.
But
against The Simpsons.
It is also possible that,
oh,
like,
boy.
Everyone's
come on,
dumber
we just
than
had a
me.
Great moment.
Nah,
we just had a great moment.
Now, the customer is always right. I mean, if you're doing comedy and a huge section of your audience is like, wow, that feels like you just pulled out your dick and shot your cum in my eye, it's not time for anyone to say, well, theoretically, he was urinating and it was aimed for her nipple. Like, it doesn't matter. The customer is always right. I felt assaulted.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, the Simpsons writer's room is incredibly white, is male, and it's older. And if your stance when someone says, hey, you are not aware of the fact that when you do this stuff, it fucking hurts me and it hurts everything about my identity, for you to then turn around and be like, well, we're never going to talk about it because fuck you, we're in charge. Like, that's so fucked up. That's so fucked up. You never get to pretend you're a good person after that. You don't ever get to say you're a good person. You have no fucking empathy.
Can we remember what is the thing that you said that, like, shut me down? Like, that gave me pause. Like, you said, you're like, can you just believe me when I say? No, I really mean this because I, like, want to, like...
Yeah, like, believe me when I say, like, I'm perceiving something that you're not, and it's fucked up.
Like, well, I'm going to listen to this episode again and be like, oh, because it's like, it just shut me, it just, like, flipped a switch in me. I was like, wait, you're a human being, and you're, like, telling me, why are you not listening to me?
Yeah.
You know? Like, really fucking, like, it humiliated me.
Oh,
no, I mean in the Latin sense,
sure,
of
yes.
Like, I it hum it
sure.
gave me humility.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, back to like episodes ago where I was like, you know, Jessica, I feel like I'm Optimus Prime and some Autobots are saying this, and like, no one fucking invited you to this car. I'm fucking blustering, but it's just it's that slippery slope thing. It's like white people are just like, well, hold on a second. What are we gonna outlaw the Simpsons? I'm really sorry about that. Like, I saw 20 seconds of it. What I was trying to report was, you know, just for scientific curiosity, what I saw in that 20 seconds, just so you know, my white eyeballs and my white forebrain actually make room in the universe for the possibility, given that 20 seconds, that actually they're being contrite and are retiring a poo and are shaming themselves. And maybe they aren't the best at apology comedy. That was what I was trying to say. But I'm like shouting you down and like you saw the whole episode. Like, so you're like, trust me. I fucking don't like it. You know, and that's the thing. I didn't respect that.
Yeah, and I think, well, I also think that a big difference between you and I is that...
My giant dick and my huge, round, fucking awesome eyes. And my briefcase full of mayonnaise and golf clubs. Yeah. Go on.
Are those the white accessories?
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
I have trouble cleaning them off, but it's worth it. I love the flavor.
Just mixing
I love the lack of flavor.
It's just loose mayonnaise?
Yeah, it's fucking... I dip my golf clubs in mayonnaise. It helps me get a hole in one world.
Okay, so the difference is that in situations like this, like, you automatically identify with the white guy, and I am identifying with who the white guy is against.
I wish it wasn't me identifying with the white guy, but like,
but you immediately
default,
can walk a mile in his shoes. It's
well,
a lot hard. It's a
are
it's
you doing
much
a pun
more,
like walk like
yes W O K. But it's
so
it's,
racist.
It's but it is it's much more of a stretch for you
well,
to walk a mile in.
I look at it more like it's less like, oh God, there's a white person being affected, and more like,
no, but it's automatic.
It's more like
it's
an instinct to defend the status quo.
Sure.
Like,
well, because you're part of the status quo. So it's, you know, you're already on that side.
Because you just don't want everything to fucking change willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Like, it makes no sense, that instinct. It doesn't really make any sense. I've decried it 1,000 times, but it's just like, I guess my nightmare is, oh, did you read this article about the Simpsons episode? Oh God, the Apu thing, and blah, 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 blah. And then my nightmare is that I'll watch it later. I'll be like, oh, fucking idiots. This is fucking, like, this is the most elegant apology I've ever seen. And I was like, the episode's not even about this. And then I'll be like, I'll just be like this fucking, like, cuck, SJW, libtard, like, white, like sellout that's like, oh, I want to prove, and that's like that. I stood idly by, and I took the easy. It's easy, the point of view. I like sit in the stool and go like, "Huh, tusk." Simpsons episode I didn't see. Sounds like you put your toe over the line of the bowling lane. Ha ha! Strike for me and my Chinese friend. It there's something that gets engaged in me where I'm like, oh, I don't want to be that kind of dick. But it's crazy because it's like, why would I put any energy into not being that guy when there's no? I guess because I perceive myself as being like this sellout, like libtard, cucky guy that's like midlife crisis, going like, oh, let's talk about how racist everything is. And like, I almost want to prove in the other direction, like, then again, I'm no cuck. Don't mistake me for that. Middle America has a season of Rick and Morty coming up, and you're going to love it. You should buy the hoodies and the pajamas. I don't know what it is that I'm afraid of. It's not commerce. It's not that. It's like I don't want to be a fucking zombie. I think that's the, like, a huge thematic fear. I think that's why my friend Dana Gould, maybe, like in that, it's like, you, like I said, you hear those shellings happen outside your bunker, and it's like, boom, 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 boom. Pronouns are changing. Boom, boom, boom. From now on, it's offensive. Knock, knock jokes aren't funny anymore because some people don't have doors. You run for cover, and you run to Jim Norton, and you run to your funny friends, and you huddle up, and you go, God damn it, can you remember when it was just funny to say fucking a Jew and a rabbi walk into a Jew bar, and they go, what's the difference between you? And the rabbi says, well, I'm more officiated than the regular Jew. And the Jew says, can I have a drink? And the bartender says, like, can you have a drink? I'm the Pope. I can't riff a joke, but that it's like, oh, the old times. Oh, I remember in the old times, and it was just funny, and you huddle up. It's an instinct. It's like,
sure, because you feel like something is being taken away from you, but that's only because you had the privilege of being able to live decades without ever having to think about other people.
I want to correct that.
Okay.
And you're going to get mad at me,
oh,
but
boy.
We're in agreement here, mm-hmm. And I want you to see that we're in agreement, because this illustration of, oh, you've never known limitation, that's why you hate it so much. It's close to being true. I think what the truth is that people who think that they've known limitation, so a white comic who overcomes the hurdles of, now listen, you're going up at the smokehouse tonight. It's, here's the rules. There's a nun academy coming in, so you can't do cunt shit on Wednesdays, and you can't do the... And there's just these legends of, like, and then he goes up, and he does the most cuntiest joke, and the nuns start laughing, and everybody that has made anything of themselves in the entertainment industry fancies themselves an underdog that has overcome limitations and hurdles. So that's the only correction I want to make on that. Like, what I agree with is that we are finding out that we are fragile and we are privileged.
Sure. These are limitations that they didn't realize.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. And it's humiliating, mm-hmm. to encounter them. Because
sure,
you think
your narrative,
a hero.
Yeah. Your narrative is, I was the scrappy underdog.
Because
I was the Luke Skywalker. Yeah. I was the Luke Skywalker. I was the scrappy underdog. And I'm the hero who, through my bootstraps narrative, was
now
able to pull myself up.
Now I make
up.
It all the way up here, yeah. to the Cream City Comedy Competition,
yeah.
with
and
my
then,
cunt joke.
And then here I come in and I'm like, guess what? You're Darth Vader. And you're like, fuck
what?
You.
You're a cunt.
Yeah.
And I'm not allowed to say, yeah, that is the, it's, we're both in agreement except for this one thing where it's like, No one's twisting their mustache going, I love the total lack of oversight. White privileged fragility guys, they feel like they were underdogs. I swear to you.
But that's why I say you really see the true measure of a person in
when
how they respond. Yeah.
To people saying, you hurt me.
Yes.
And to this day, woke as I am, mm-hmm. that guy is like, you're funny because Jessica puts up with your bullshit. And I'm like, fuck you, block. I fucking hope you die in a fucking car accident, you piece of worm shit. My couples therapist says it's not about whether you fight. It's about how you repair.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How do you respond to people telling you, I'm in pain over here? Now, a comedian has this like heightened impulse. They're not ambulance drivers. They're not like, oh, someone's in pain over there. Cha-ching. They're like, someone's in pain over there. Swerve the other direction because that's where the profit goes. Like offense, the person who's in the audience at the Black Box Theater, like the stand-up club, that's going like, I happen to be a Polish American and you should stop doing your show right now and stop doing your thing that's entertaining the other 70 people in this room. It is good comic instinct to tell that person to go fuck themselves straight to hell. The audience will cheer the skill of doing that, handling a heckler. This is the whole culture of comedy. It's like there's always going to be one person who wishes to hell that even though you got the mic and you got the spotlight, I've decided it's going to be about me. Those are the worlds that collide when stand-up comedy in general and the internet are colliding.
I think it's a problem to see people who say, because there's a difference between a heckler and someone who says, this thing that you're doing is very problematic and hurts me. You have to separate the two.
Well, of course you do. You know? But I'm saying that that's...
But I think that's the problem, is seeing the person who says, this thing that you do hurts me. Seeing that person as a heckler, because that person is not your enemy. Well, that person is somebody that you're hurting. And if you are an empathetic person, you would be like, let me stop, take a moment instead of reacting.
Isn't it very easy to see that that is a science that would be rewarded on the internet and absolutely career punished at the laugh store,
here's my ultimate problem with The Simpsons, is that their argument is that we are doing what we think is funny and we don't want to give an inch. It's the slippery slope argument, which is, well, if we start giving in to what one group of people thinks is offensive, then like, well, there goes all of comedy then our hands are tied. Because in it, Lisa... Marge says, well, it takes a lot of work to take the spirit and character out of a book. And that's miles away from just saying, hey, this one fucking thing you do really fucking hurts me and made my childhood a nightmare, you know? Because what they're saying is the straw dog argument is we have a responsibility to our audience to be the funniest show. But what they're not realizing is the audience that they care about is the white male audience. Because guess what? Indian Americans are also part of their audience, and they're alienating and fucking with them by having this character. And they're not realizing that it's their audience that's saying, hey, I love this show, but this part of the show really fucks me up and it really fucking hurts me. For them to then hide behind the argument of like, well, we have a responsibility to the audience and to the comedy to do whatever the fuck we want.
That's an interpretation. I saw 20 seconds of it. You saw the whole episode. But here's the thing that chills everything out is like saying the I statement thing. That huge portion of the audience is like, what the fuck? Like that, to not be cognizant of that is that any comic would say, what? You went up at UCLA and you did a bunch of jokes about how USC is cool? Idiot.
What's so smart and funny? The only thing that makes Apu quote-unquote funny is the accent. If you strip that away, he's not even a fucking character.
I don't... Dude, I haven't seen the episode.
No, I'm saying Apu's history. Like, everything, all of his punchlines are predicated
There's
on him having an accent.
I find it hard to believe that any Simpsons writer would draw in here would ever say that the origin of that character was in any way humanitarian. He's brown and everyone's yellow.
But who thinks that the accent is funny is my question.
I think that...
Because if the only funny thing about this character is that he has this accent, who is that funny towards?
White people. Yes. We all agree on that. And I think that the most effective argument, which is, again, the thing I'm like, oh, shit, that documentary, like, makes me want to watch it, that brown, respectable creators are going, I grew up on this shit and I respect the institutions of comedy and I had to hurdle this obstacle. Like this is my Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yep.
Like, that's fucking profound. It hits you right in the gut, even just reading a description of it. I want to watch that documentary. And because I was picturing, like, more of a self-styled Morgan Spurlock going, like, you know, I don't want to watch any documentary that has voiceover. Like, I thought to myself, but interviews.
I will say this, the interviews in the documentary are fantastic.
And it sounds like empathic. It's like, not like, tear it down.
No, it's just human beings
like,
talking about their experiences.
I'm human and I was hurt. Yeah. And so I watched, God damn it. I can't wait to watch the fucking tweets from this. I watched 20 seconds of it. It's when you said, it just fucking stopped me cold when you were like, how can you fucking not be hearing me? Like, I'm telling you, I watched the episode and I'm fucking hurt by it. I'm like, oh shit. Like if you were a hitchhiker, I wouldn't like drive by you and like spray you with mud from a puddle. You're a human being. Like, it's empathy. I think there's got to be a way to be funny about how empathy is needed.
All right.
So stay tuned for season 4 of Rick and Morty. Where I
All right. Well, Simpsons, dead to me. Fuck you.
I mean, I got to say, I love your fucking vitriol. You sound like fucking Patty Hearst. Like, you're like, I don't fucking care. This fucking, like, that show is fucking,
I'll
like...
I'll fight any of you. Fucking bare knuckle.
It's because you can handle your liquor.
Yes, but
you
also...
You don't have that gene.
The other thing in this...
Because you're part Korean.
Well, the other thing part of this that I wanted to... that I am very surprised by and kind of proud of, talking about my 23andMe again, is that... it said that my... Oh God, now I gotta fucking pull it up again. Where it said my build is that of an elite power athlete. Which,
wait,
if you look at me, is not true.
Aww.
Well, here's the thing. I will say this. I used to do Krav Maga, and I build muscle lightning fast. Like, the moment I start working out, I just start packing on fucking muscle. So...
Jesus.
I mean, I'm incredibly out of shape, but even like out of shape, I'll fight any Simpsons guy.
Well, I did want to say like, do we want, if I were to say to Matt Selman or Dana Gould, these are the guys I know, like, is there fruit to having them come in, or is it just going to be like, I don't want it to be like a...
I mean, if they fucking want to, but like, I would be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, they probably wouldn't want to, but I'm just asking the curious.
Well, especially
question.
Since I just spent 85 minutes saying fuck you.
But I mean, that might be the beautiful thing, is that mm-hmm. It's like you're reacting to a show, and then I don't know.
Sure. I mean, like, use your fucking Harmon magic.
No, I'm not even, I'm
even
looking forward to asking him. I'd rather you say no, don't bring him, because I don't want to text him and go, hey,
do you want to come on and have a Chinese lady try to fight you for 80 minutes?
I just wonder if that's, yeah. I mean, I also wonder, we have people of color writers
yeah.
of color that are people in their spare time when they're not writers of color. Do we... what about like secular Jew writers versus hardcore fucking Israeli writers? Like is that danced through my head the other day. Like, are we, should we, I'm interested to hear, like, all right, I'm drunk.
Yes, I will say this. Like, you can love something and
we can knock them both out with Matt Selman, I think.
Yeah. You can love something and still have a real issue with it. Like, I really loved it. It was such a formative thing in my childhood. And you can love something and still say, like, but this thing that you do fucking sucks. You know, in the documentary, it likens The Simpsons to, like, having a racist grandpa, where you love your grandpa, but he says, like, racist shit, and so you don't like that part about him. And also, maybe it's time for him to die. But, you know, it's like, it's not mutually exclusive. Like, I have a lot of love for The Simpsons that has, and a lot of it has died. But it doesn't mean that I 100% hate it. It doesn't mean I 100% love it. And I think it hurts more when something you love really fucks with you.
Yeah. And I'm going to watch the episode we'll talk about next week, because I saw the 20 seconds and I was like, well, as a white guy, I'm thinking, like, yeah, maybe that's the standard self-reference, like, nod and a wink, like, fuck you, you caught us, like, bye-bye, Apu. Life goes on when you're at The Simpsons kind of reference.
Yeah, this will be a two-parter. And next week, I will be 10% fluent in Korean.
Oh, God. You're going to, like, go into your, like, you're going to be like Alex Haley and, like, find out, like, about your Japanese grandma. I love it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to us fight and rant. And
I swear to God, I'm not racist. Like, my role in the show
Who
is
cares?
Like,
we're all racist. It's a fucking spectrum. And this is you're just, you know, in the graph of progress. Sometimes there's a dip and then you go back up.
I don't know
it's
what that means.
It's slow
I think
progress.
You mean I'm racist.
I just mean sometimes it's one step forward, two steps back. But that doesn't mean you don't keep moving.
All right. Well, we'll thank you for that theme song. That was fucking awesome. Like,
yeah.
Make more. Love you.
Goodbye.
Stay racial. It's a good show.